नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
What number? That's where the marker is?
Yeah.
31?
Yes.
By that confidence of knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Shabitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Bhutaram Adivadam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Shri Radhvirad Hashiva Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Shatir Very famous story from Shri Bhagavatam how Narada Muni was serving the Bhakti Vedantas in his previous life. But he was qualified. His qualification was that he was innocent. He wasn't attracted to sports or some other frivolous thing where he was, where most children are so much caught up in trying to enjoy this material nature in some way or another. So he was a little sober, innocent, and thus he was naturally attracted to these saintly people, and as a child, his want to do, he was happy to serve them. This is the nature of the child. If you ask them, please bring me to, then they'll immediately do it because they're simple and they can accept authority. They won't say, no, you get it yourself. A child is not like that. So that was his qualification, and then he began to understand what was going on, what was the deep meaning of the saintly life, why they were disattracted to the material life. Most people can't see that. They think that religion is a crutch that people just need because they're confused, or but it's just something that people take out of weakness, or they think it is something that will enhance your material life. Give us this day our daily bread. People want bread, so they come to God. So the real renunciate, like these Bhakti Vedantas were, bewildered most people. They can't understand them. They think they must be like me. In the same way, our neighbors, they won't understand what we're doing here. Some people are coming Saturday to look at this house, if you're here. Take them around. But they'll be confused. What is it? How are you living like this? Like this next door neighbor. I don't like it. You don't have any furniture. So this is the natural. Anything that's too different. Because everybody's thinking that the others should think like that. And they're thinking how to enjoy life. But we say that this is animal life. That the enjoying life is a fool's paradise. There's no enjoyment. What kind of enjoyment is it that you have to die? After a few days, suppose you're told by the high court that you have to be hung by the neck in the morning. But you think, oh, tonight I can enjoy. There's a good show on the television, and there's somebody will bring me a pizza. That way I can have a nice night. No, who will have a nice night? You know, in the morning you're going to die, and you're going to be in anxiety. So certainly, everybody has to die. So why not be anxious to get free from that? Anxiety is the natural feature. Here in the material world. Even a bird is anxious. When is the cat coming to get me? But we're saying that anxiety in itself is not bad if you direct it to Krishna. You should be anxious for the service of the Lord, anxious to push on his movement, anxious to qualify yourself so that you can enter and see him personally, as as being mentioned here in this verse. So that same anxiety, if it's used in Krishna's service, it becomes... you can say something very spiritual. Another, you saw there's an anxiety. Oh, look, the demons are going to get Krishna. I have to be careful. So we're not saying that you can should give up feeling, but you should change the accounts. You should be concerned about Krishna and his movement and the spiritual master and his movement and to try to assist them, rather than on your own account. This is the disease. Everybody's so worried about their own account. If there's one little slight diminishing in what they think that they, how they should be treated, then people will become very upset. But a devotee, he learns how to tolerate on his own account. So what if somebody calls me a fool or somebody says, yeah, I can accept that. What is the problem? Therefore, it's sometimes measured like that. Prabhupada says the symptom of the devotee, the more advanced devotee, is one who can tolerate more. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya stressed this, more tolerant than a tree. You want to have a competition, who's the best devotee? Then see who's the most tolerant. These were the sages were saying like that. We have to decide who is the supreme God. And so they understood this principle. We'll see who is the most tolerant. Then we'll know who is really God. And so they said, Bhrigu Muni. First he went to Lord Shiva. First he went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is his father. But naturally, when you come to your father, you should offer some words of respect, some prayer, my dear father, my dear guru. But instead, he just treated him like an equal. Hey, what's happening? You know, he came like a brother. So immediately, Brahma became agitated. Look at this guy coming to me like he's, you know. But then he thought, well, he's my son. So he tolerated. He checked his, but he became angry that he was being insulted or minimized. His position was being minimized in some way. Then he went next to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva's his brother. So when Lord Shiva saw him, he wanted to embrace him. He said, don't touch me. You're all full of ashes, dirty. And immediately Lord Shiva became angry. He was going to retaliate in some way. But Parvati was there, so she evoked his word of goodness. This is Bhrigu, he's your brother, don't be coming. So Lord Shiva was able to check himself. But he went to Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, and he didn't say anything, he just kicked him on the chest. And immediately the Lord got up and he said, oh, my dear Bhrigu, my chest is so hard, I think your foot must be hurt. But the goddess of fortune, they didn't appreciate that. So therefore, the Brahmins are always poor. But the Lord was able to tolerate. And rather, he was concerned about the offender. So this is the real sign of advancement. How much we can tolerate on our own account. Well, sometimes it's not easy. But for Krishna's service, why can't we? Well, what does it matter? If people think that we're stupid or people think that whatever they think, that doesn't interfere with our relationship with our spiritual master, Krishna. That's the important thing. Not what the people think. Not what the even what our God brothers think so much. There's an example like that from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Gadadha was obliged to hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam from Balabhacharya. Balabhacharya was a great scholar, but he was a little proud. And so he thought he made the commentary of Bhagavatam better than Shiroswami. Shiroswami is the original commentator on the Bhagavatam. So he approached Lord Chaitanya and he was saying how my Bhagavatam purport is better than Shiroswami, something like that. Lord Chaitanya insulted him. He said, you don't accept Swami, means Shiroswami? He said, because Swami also means husband. He said, then I see you as a prostitute, something like that. Doesn't accept your husband. So then all the devotees there were secretly pleased that Lord Chaitanya, dealt with him so strongly like that. But Balabhacharya went away feeling, why is it that sometimes Lord Chaitanya treats me so respectfully, but now he's treating me just like neglecting me. So, but still he was thinking, I wanted to show you what I've written. That's the natural propensity, right? We write something, we speak something, we want people to hear. So he had a relationship with Gadadha. And he was a very advanced devotee, Balabhacharya. So Gadadha couldn't just neglect him. He didn't have the same relationship with Lord Chaitanya had. So he was obliged to associate with him and to hear from him. And then the devotees, they became critical of Gadadha. Oh, Lord Chaitanya is not hearing from him, but you're hearing from him? So Gadadha knew that. So, but before he heard, before he associated with him, he prayed very sincerely to Krishna in his heart. He said, please, Krishna, I have no choice. I can't be offensive to this person. It would be Vaishnava Parada. So please forgive me if there's any, he was. So everybody was criticizing him, but he was still doing what he knew he had to do. And then Lord Chaitanya was pleased. At the end, you can see that Lord Chaitanya wasn't displeased with it. So that's the point. The point is, Prabhupada said the same thing. I'm only concerned about pleasing my spiritual master, Krishna. We don't have to please, even our God brothers. All of a sudden, my God brothers, they're always discouraging me and minimizing in some way or another. Depressed, screwed up. But that doesn't discourage me. I'm simply trying to see that my spiritual master is pleased, see that Krishna is pleased. Then I'm successful. So if we have that in the front, then what do we care if somebody on the side barks at us or says something? Like the caravan passing, Prabhupada gives that example. When the elephant caravan passes, the dogs in the village, they always come out to bark. What are you doing coming into my village? But the caravan doesn't stop, doesn't care if the dogs bark. It goes on. Similarly, we can go on with our mission to serve Srila Prabhupada, serve Krishna. That should be our point. We have our mission. If people bark and throw anything, they can't stop our mission. They can't get in front of us and say, you have to stop. No. We can go on because it's internal. Internal as well as eternal. It's inside us and it's an eternal process. So who can check us? We simply, it's just based on desire. We desire to go to serve Krishna, then nothing can stop, like Prahlad showed by his example. So therefore, we should be very enlivened. That we have the greatest process that can bring us to personally meet the Lord face to face. And we've taken it up seriously. So our future is very bright. In the meantime, we have to go on with our service, try our best from whatever position we're in to serve spiritual master and Krishna. And then we can be confident that we'll become qualified. Not to be to lose faith in some way, and then Krishna will reciprocate. This is the process. So it's very important to learn how to tolerate on your own account, and then you'll conquer. You'll conquer your own mind, you'll conquer your lower nature, you'll conquer the opposing elements, the atheists and all. They'll all, because of your tolerance, you can overcome, just like Lord Jesus, he was so tolerant. But look at his name is still being chanted, and who tormented him, who knows about that? There's some anonymous figures in the history who who cares about that? So if we tolerate, then we'll become successful. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya stresses on this point. Chanada pisa nityayata yata pisa nishana amani na amani na kirtana. We want to do kirtan. Unless we have this humble attitude, we won't be able to. We'll be thinking, oh, everybody's looking at me, I'm such a great singer. We'll be carried away by some desire, material desire. But if we're humble, then we can chant the kirtan continuously because we're just doing it for the pleasure of the Lord, no other concern. And then we'll become. And the Lord will dance on our tongue. This is the promise that the Lord says. If you can chant from the heart without desire, without any offense, in other words, we've listed 10 offenses, then Krishna will descend in his holy name. And you'll become intoxicated with that chanting. It's like Narada Muni chanting, Hari Bol, and all the demigods and are assisting him and also dancing. Bhaktivinoda writes that nice bhajan. Lord Shiva is playing the drum. So that we can expect, if we chant nicely, that Krishna will become manifest in his name so that we can directly experience, relish that holy name and relish Krishna. Okay, any questions?
Narada Muni, in his previous life, he was qualified to get bhakti. So this was spiritual qualification. This was not just some
virtue. That's true.
Virtues, material virtues.
But he was still advancing. I mean, he wasn't perfectly pure at this point. He was the son of a maidservant. He was qualified more than an ordinary child from his past life. That's true.
But I'm trying to understand what was those qualities.
It says, like it mentioned here, he wasn't attracted to play.
Were they just material by their matter? No,
they were spiritual qualities. Rabbinical qualities he had. Like tolerance.
So this is like more or less sattva guna.
It may be, but with the sattva guna alone, without the touch of the devotees, you won't come out of that. But when you learn the spiritual process, no, it's true. You can say maybe he was qualified materially. We see that practically. Sometimes if we meet a person who's in the mode of goodness, they can very quickly take to the spiritual life. But then we don't, why is he in the mode of goodness? Isn't that something from the previous life that has qualified him? In other words, your question is, what? How does one become a devotee? But generally we say it's a jata sukriti. There's some devotional activities that have to be performed. It's not just goodness alone. There has to be some connection with the devotees. Doing some service to them. That's what this verse is also pointing out, that even a young boy, because he was rendering service to the Bhaktivedantas, then he became qualified, Narada Muni. This is more part of the question?
Yeah, how did he anyway get the cessation of devotees?
That's a question that was asked by Prabhupada. Well, Madhavisa asked Prabhupada that. Srila Prabhupada, we're not very qualified, you know, we're living here in this Western civilization, eating meat. We were born in a sinful life, intoxication, illicit sex. How is it that we've met you? And that you're giving us this highest conception, Radha Krishna, conjugal love affair. What is our qualification for having access to that? And Srila Prabhupada answered by saying, yeah, I've given you that good fortune. So similarly, these sages, they didn't need this boy serving them, but they saw he's an innocent child, so they gave their mercy to him. They let him eat from his plate, and they clean, and they let him clean the dishes or whatever he was doing to help to serve them. They accepted that service. They didn't have to. That was their mercy. They agreed to let this boy serve them. Otherwise, they didn't need his service. So he got their mercy. Similarly, we got Prabhupada's mercy.
It also seems like he was qualified, he was desired. Consciously, but he was designed to meet devotees, otherwise how would they come?
No, not necessarily. Even if the devotee comes of your own desire. Because he's taking the mission of the Lord as his life and soul. And Krishna says, no one is more dear to me than one who explains this message to the innocent. So yeah, it's true, you have to be a little innocent to hear. Now, Prabhupada said, you know, what is the qualification? Somebody asked him, well, how do you know somebody's innocent? Because they're willing to hear. So that qualification was there, that this boy was willing to hear from them, so he could understand the philosophy. And the devotees who met Prabhupada, many of them were willing to hear. Others weren't. I was at the campus with acquaintances that I knew from the college. They also came, and they saw Prabhupada when he came there, 1968. He was chanting on the campus, and so many hundreds of people were there. So his chanting, I can come up if it's important. But they didn't become devotees. Why? Because they didn't want to. There is some desire. Yeah, that's another qualification we see. The aspirant has to be frustrated with material life. He has to see that I don't have really an advantage here. If you see that, if you think you have an advantage in the material world, then the message of Bhagavatam won't be attractive to you. Why should I do that? I can make millions of dollars a year and enjoy life. Why should I waste my time discussing these points? That's how the materialists would think. Why are we wasting our time like this, sitting here and just talking about these things? We could be making money and enjoying life. But a devotee thinks, no, this is the most valuable thing, because if I understand this properly, then if I make money or not make money, it's not the end of the world. I still have Krishna. Who can stop me from enjoying or from allowing Krishna to enjoy me and thus relishing? Who can stop me from relishing Krishna consciousness? Who can stop me from experiencing ecstasy of the holy name? It doesn't cost any money to do that. So I'm not so preoccupied with money, because there's something better than money. Even the karmis know that. There's a song like that. I don't care too much for money, because money can't buy you love, can't buy you love. Money can't buy you love. But they know love is higher than money. People know that. And those who have money, it doesn't make them happy. This guy next door must have money. How much did he just pay to get his tree cut down? $1,000, probably. He's got plenty of money, but look at him when he comes around here. You want to be like him? He's not happy. Money doesn't make you happy. But love will make you happy. But love, also, they don't know what love is. Love your dog, love your country. They don't know really what love is. But we do. At least we have an idea. Love is directed to God, Krishna. So, if we experience that even a little bit, then we can give up this other way, business, is the idea. Sorry?
So I remember Govinda Maharaj, I read his book, Prakashna, he says that...
Who?
Govinda Swami. He said that spiritual master can give two things. First is Kripa, and second is, I forgot Sanskrit, but it's like false appearance. He can cheat someone who is not sincere enough. And he gave an example of Gadadhar when he met Sundarika Vinitka. At first he didn't recognize him as a great devotee, and then that's what you were saying. That some people who would listen to Prabhupada, they didn't become devotees.
Yeah. Because they're covered, and they like the covering. If somebody is asleep, you can wake them up. If they're pretending they're asleep, then you can't wake them up. So they were pretending or thinking that they're enjoying life. Why should I take this trouble? Give up illicit sex, intoxication. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.